UK government might have shut down?
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
President, Reverend Dr. William Barber, about the moral march and the power of fusion politics. The Department of Education, now under the leadership of Secretary Betsy DeVos, gets schooled after a series of Twitter errors trying to honor W.E.B. Du Bois. Jesus, can we learn how to spell? The music world loses a legend who inspired musicians across genres from jazz to pop to R&B. We will honor Al Jarreau. Also, we'll recap the 40th annual NAACP Image Awards that took place in Pasadena, California over the weekend. And so we got a number of honorees, including yours truly, plus Montel Williams. We talked to him about Trump and politics today in the first part of a three-part interview. Plus, we'll have a recap of the Grammys as well. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now TV One. The resistance to President Donald Trump and his right-wing agenda is not letting up the fourth weekend he's been president. Guess what? And more protests. Saturday, nearly 80,000 people turned out in Raleigh, North Carolina for the 11th annual Moral March led by the North Carolina NAACP and its president, Reverend Dr. William Barber. Demonstrators rallied against President Trump's executive orders on immigration, in the Muslim ban, North Carolina's voter suppression laws, as well as the GOP's plan to gut the Affordable Care Act. Here's some of the speakers.
When you name it the Obamacare as a slight, because you're trying to racialize, you're trying to make it negative, just like you used to label certain things communism. And when you do that, and when you want to take health care because you despise a black president that did what you wouldn't do, and then you want to take that money and give tax breaks to the greedy, then bowing down and standing down is not an option.
Of course, again, there were a number of other speakers there as well. We'll have some of that for you in just a second. We're also trying to get Reverend Barber on the phone line as well. On our panel today, Eugene Craig, CEO of the Eugene Craig Organization, Law and Victoria Burke, political analyst and writer for NBC Black. Folks, here's what's interesting. This is the 11th annual event. And if you go back, 2006, when they held this first event, that actually positioned what took place in 2008. The massive turnout with Obama in that election, what took place in 2012, and what we saw in 2016, the throwing out of Governor Pat McCrory, the election of a Democratic Attorney General, and the flipping of the state Supreme Court as well. This is an example of how a movement, it takes time to actually build, Eugene. And if you are Democrats, it does. I mean, bottom line is it's here. And so this thing started with 16 people getting arrested in North Carolina, largely African Americans, and all of a sudden the issues they were trumpeting also began to attract whites, Latinos as well.
Yeah, I'm a supporter of fusion movements. I think coalition building is one of our lost arts, especially in this town. Do I agree necessarily with the perspective on the issues Dr. Barber carries? Not necessarily, but I can appreciate where he's going with things.
I remember, Lauren, you talked about what are you doing in North Carolina? How's it working? We've seen the result in terms of turnout, in terms of how they have been able to target clergy, bringing folks in, driving issues, not necessarily party, driving issues.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously we see the turnout. Obviously they got rid of the governor, which was a huge, huge accomplishment that I think nobody predicted. Nobody thought that would happen. Unfortunately, what they didn't do was they didn't win North Carolina for Hillary, and they haven't yet gotten control of the gangsters in North Carolina and the Republican Party who keep closing polling places. They're headed for that.
But remember, their actions did force the court decision to throw out the districts that sued. And here was a piece of why I think is important when you talk about in terms of what they did. First, you have to enlighten people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then once you enlighten them, they also had massive training where they've actually gone county to county to county, teaching people in terms of this whole idea of moral resistance and also challenging white clergy who oftentimes have been sitting on the sidelines.
Well, yeah, absolutely. They've done that. At some point, though, I mean, we're seeing these mass movements now. Obviously, we saw the Tea Party.
Yeah.
We're seeing the indivisible movement do what the Tea Party did. But at some point, this has to translate into taking people out of power. That's what this is about. The Tea Party, everybody I thought really didn't take them seriously until they started bumping off some fairly mainstream middle-of-the-road Republicans.
Yeah.
I think that what Reverend Barber's doing is like nothing else in this country, obviously. He's doing something nobody else is doing. The fusion piece and the number of people he's getting out on a regular basis, not just once a year or a few times a year.
It's regular.
It's regular. So it's huge. But they've got to take some people out of power in North Carolina. It's a tough state, but they got to take some people out of power.
They took the governor. Here's the deal, though.
You got to take
people out of power, but we can't ignore the reality that what you're also dealing with is gerrymandering.
Oh, absolutely. It's
much harder when literally you take over a legislature, you control the process, and you pretty much are rigging these seats. And Eugene, that's real of how gerrymandering plays a big part of this.
I'm a Republican in Maryland. I understand gerrymandering all too well. I mean, we went from a 4-4 state to a 7-1 state on the congressional side, and we have Democrat supermajorities in both houses of our General Assembly when it probably should be, it probably would be pretty even if we had all single-member districts. I mean, the case has literally been fought in the appellate court, the Supreme Court, right now. So I'm a person that, you know, believes in independent districting commissions. You know, take it out of the hands of the political players.
Well, it's not
joining us on the phone line right now is Reverend Dr. William Barber. Dr. Barber, glad you are joining us. First of all, congratulations on a quite successful gathering in Raleigh, North Carolina, over the weekend. And the thing, again, that I keep talking about is it's a slow build. It's not a situation where this thing will just happen overnight and you'll see the results of all of the work.
Well, you're exactly right. Thank you for having me on. I'm sorry this hotel's having some technical difficulties with the internet. But you know, Roland, I heard my sister say about taking people, out. Part of what is happening is folk don't know the depth of this movement. First of all, we've been in it for 11 years. We started when Democrats were in office. We've been able to mobilize clergy of all different faiths. We've been able to mobilize Republicans are with us, Democrats, gay, straight, young, old, black, white. And about the political piece, we have taken people out. North Carolina was the only place where incumbent Tea Party is lost in Western North Carolina because of the Moral Monday movement. We were able to not only win the governor's office, but the Secretary of State's office, the Attorney General's office, and a black man in this state won 76 counties, won by 350,000 votes for the Supreme Court. The first time in history, we now have two African Americans on the Supreme Court. So, you know, you can go on and on about victory. We won in the court. We won against the worst voter suppression case in the country since Shelby. We beat them 13 times in the courts over constitutional issues. We've won a new election this year. They have to redraw 60 districts, and we're going to have new elections because of the courts. In North Carolina, they won a supermajority, Roland, because of the gerrymandering. They packed 51% of African Americans into 27 out of 120 House seats and 49% of African Americans into 19 out of 50 Senate seats, thereby creating what the courts call apartheid districts. So that even when you had 150,000 more progressive vote than you did extremists, we could not overcome that. However, we went to court. So our movement is not just a mobilization. It's a voting strategy. It's an academic strategy. It's a legal strategy. It's a building allies. We're now organizing in Mitchell County that's 99% white, 89% Republican, and we can mobilize in that community, you know, and gather 400, 500, 600 people at any time. And they took some of the incumbent Tea Party out in that area. So there's a depth level. When we mobilized yesterday with almost 100,000 people, 55% white or so, and young people were there. We didn't just mobilize. We also gave people things to do post the mobilization. So we'll be marching in the congressional office. We'll be having a mass people's moral lobby day. We'll be meeting these legislators back in there. We're in this for, we're trying to undo the Southern strategy that has had hold on the South for 50 years. You cannot do that in just 10 years, but what you can do is you can build the kind of foundations to do it. And that's why after 3 years of Moral Monday, we are in fact winning. But you can't build a movement just on an election strategy. You have to change the consciousness of the people and then from there implement strategies to change the electorate.
Reverend Barber, also one of the things that I think also is important that I want to get understand, we're now seeing this happen across the country where folks are now showing up to Republican town halls on the issue of the Affordable Care Act because they now are afraid they will lose it. We didn't see supporters showing up in support of the law in 2009. We saw the opposition. Now Republicans are saying, oh, these are paid folks, but many of these people are constituents in these congressional districts. How can Moral Mondays, which y'all have been doing there in North Carolina for 11 years, how can that transcend to other states? And have you had other states reaching out to you saying, how can we launch the same movement in our states?
Well, actually, you know, in Kansas, they've now launched, in Kentucky, we've been working with North Carolina, there's a movement in Boston, in Connecticut. You know, from April to November, we traveled, Tracy Blackman, Sister Simone, Dr. Ford, myself, to 30 to 22 other states, building foundations. You know, we were in Birmingham, for instance, Roland. We had 150 clergy in a Jewish synagogue. We're talking about Muslims, Pentecostal, Charismatics, Sikhs, Black Lives Matter, Fight for 15, a whole bunch of people talking about how do we build in their unique area moral resistance. It may not necessarily go under the same title, but this business of moral resistance, because what it does, and the reason we've had 11% of the people that got arrested with us were Republicans. How you do that? You go into a community like, as I said, Mitchell County, that's 99% white, 89% Republican. He said, I'm not here to talk Democrat, Republican. I'm here to talk about policies and how your neighbors are being hurt. And you show them that, for instance, 1,700 people in that county are being denied Medicaid expansion. They can't be white, black, Roland, because there's no black people up there. So that undercuts the whole argument that this is Obamacare, you know, quote unquote, black for black people or lazy people. And then you begin to raise with them questions that, for instance, people in Appalachia understand, we call it mountain populism. You're never supposed to kick your neighbor when you're down. That's language in mountain populism. And you begin to show them, yeah, you may have voted for this guy for quote-unquote moral reasons over abortion, but did you know this same person just cut your health care, just cut out the ability for you to have living wages, which 80% of North Carolinians, not black North Carolinians, 80% say you should have a living wage, or you cut public education. And people began to see it from a moral lens. It's a different language. You got to get away from left versus right, conservative versus liberal, Democrat versus Republican. Those languages are too puny to build a movement. We have to begin to talk about what is morally, constitutionally consistent, morally defensible, and economically sane. And it is amazing. I did 22 states. Everywhere we went, we had massive crowds. And we didn't just go do sermons. We do 2 and 3 days of organizing. You know, we forget Dr. King didn't run rallies. He ran campaigns. That's a different kind of language when you run a campaign and you're trying to build a movement. You have to put foundations underneath and help people really have an understanding of how public policy is impacting. Lastly, Roland, you look yesterday, nobody on that stage stood at that podium by themselves. We had people impacted. We put a face. We had, you know, a woman suffering with cancer who will be hurt if this health care is repealed. We had Muslims there. We had persons that will be hurt, women who will be hurt if you repeal. We had workers, white workers and black workers speaking, standing together. It's not about advocates speaking on their behalf. The first hour and a half were people speaking on their own behalf and putting a face on it.
Reverend Dr. William Barber, we appreciate it. I know lots of national media totally ignored this march over the weekend, like they have had. They've ignored more Mondays. But I made it perfectly clear we were not going to do so here, as well as even from the red carpet at the Image Awards on Saturday.
Yeah, and we thank you. You know, people forget, Roland, that a lot of things that happened in the civil rights movement, we know about it now, but it was ignored at first, too. And in some ways, you know, that's okay, because the bottom line is we're doing the work.
Yep.
And eventually the work, and what they couldn't ignore was what happened in the election this past November. Nobody thought that would happen.
Right.
They thought Trumpism would go all the way down, and nobody, people told us we wouldn't win our court case when we first went to case.
Well, we know they're wrong. Reverend Barber, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. Take care now.
Coming up next, we will pay tribute to the great Al Jarreau, who passed away on yesterday. That's next, News 1 on TV 1.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin, how was your Image Awards week?
The award-winning.
Image Awards was great on Friday night, of course.
And congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it. And
yeah,
so,
we're here.
We're here, of course, also on the air. So I have here, it took them about 6 months for you to send your award, but I have the actual, the first one, the second one I won on the set here at TV One. So one for Best Host, so beating out Joy Reid and W. Kamau Bell, Steve Harvey, Anthony Anderson, and Tracy Ellis Ross. And so we appreciate all the folks voting for me for new Best Host here on News 1 Now on TV One. So we certainly appreciate that. Thank you so very much. And so it was a great weekend. Also participated in the red carpet. And so it was fabulous time. Well, we missed you out there, but we did have the Tom Joyner Foundation on the course. I'll talk about them on the red carpet there as well. And so
first generation, yeah.
Great, great weekend all across.
Gave Roland another award.
And Roland, really not looking good in the pink.
Huh?
Rocking the pink.
Oh, yeah,
Saturday
you know,
night.
Come on now. And then, of course, Anthony Anderson decides to say in the middle of, during the show, Roland, you weren't the only one wearing pink because he had a pink tuxedo jacket on. But it's like, real men can rock the pink. So that's how we do it. We did, though, unfortunately. Of course, we celebrated the Image Awards, but we lost a huge legend on Sunday. Al Jarreau passed away, seven-time Grammy Award winner. Also, because I first met him 2 years ago when he won an Image Award. As well. They announced that he was going to be retiring earlier in the week because he was in the hospital for exhaustion. He passed away on yesterday. So many tributes pouring in all across the country. One of the folks, of course, who knew him very well, who was going to visit him next week when he was back in L.A., is Jeffrey Osborne. He joins us right now. Jeffrey, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How you doing, Roland?
Doing great. Just share your thoughts about your friend, the great Al Jarreau.
Well, first of all, I'm shocked, you know, because I had learned that he had just got admitted to the hospital, and I was getting ready to go see him this week when I got in town. So it was shocking to hear that he passed away. But you know, I have quite a history with Al. We worked together a lot. As a matter of fact, last year we did a little tour together, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then, yeah, we did a little tour together. And a few years ago, we did a Christmas tour together. And, you know, and myself and Al and George were really close because he was very close with George.
George Duke.
So, you know, I love Al. I know back in the 60s, him and George used to hang out up in San Francisco. They both went to school there, and they used to hang out in a little half-note jazz club back in the 60s. So I've had so many great times with Al. He's got to be one of the most unique vocalists of all time. I mean, one of those guys, as soon as you hear his voice, you know exactly who he is. And his style was so unique. You know, he is a vocal percussionist. Able to do anything with his voice. Just a really special human being, great person, and a great loss for all of us.
And you talk about that unique style, and he crossed so many different genres and even won Grammys in three different areas, one of only two singers to do so.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, he's really a jazz vocalist who turned to be a pop vocalist, R&B vocalist. He did it all, man. He was amazing. You know, like I said, he's once in a lifetime a voice like that comes around. You know, a talent like that comes around. And he was just so special, man. And I have so much fun with him. I mean, we just actually worked on a record when George died. He did a tribute album mm-hmm. to George, and I worked with him on that record. So it's just sad.
He was also supposed to perform this Friday at the Howard Theater here in Washington, D.C., along with Take Six. And joining us also is Mark Kibble and Claude McKnight of Take Six. Mark, I want to start with you. Are you there?
Here.
Tom, can you hear Mark?
Yeah, barely.
Folks, if you could turn it up, please, I'd appreciate that. Mark, just your thoughts as well. Just the loss of this great legend.
Oh my goodness, my dad knew Al when he was growing up, so I had some early on ties with him. Al was the first person that put Take Six on the road back in '89 when we were babies in the industry. We cut our teeth with him, and we learned just how to be. From his sunshine that he brought to the table any time that he was out there. He became our friend very quickly, shared with us just how to do it. We expanded what we did because we were with Al Jarreau. We sang with him on one of his Christmas projects when he did I'll Be Home for Christmas. We backed him up. We did. We worked with him when we worked with Quincy Jones on We Be Doing It on the song Back on the Block. And here recently, we were just about to record with him again and possibly go on tour with him again, even this summer. They were planned. So I had met with him recently. I think one of the fondest memories was just recently we crossed paths with him in Istanbul in the lounge at the airport. We had such a good time just fooling around, clowning around. Al is always such a ray of sunshine for us and such a high inspiration.
Claude?
We love that man so much. Yes.
Mark, you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Claude, is Claude there? Sorry, we don't have Claude there as well. Jeff, I want to go to you. A lot of people also talked about, again, you mentioned that unique style, which obviously was so different. He scored a massive hit with a television theme show, with Moonlighting, and so a whole new audience learned about Al Jarreau.
Exactly, yeah. He just, like you said, he crossed every genre. He was amazing. Moonlighting was huge for him. I think that was like 1970s. That was in the 80s.
It was in the 80s.
And that's when a lot of people really came to notice Al, but he had done so many recordings before then. I can't even tell you my favorite. There's so many great songs.
That's the truth.
But I got to sing a Morning with him and do it on the Christmas tour, and I had so much fun with him. I mean, he's, like he said, he was always smiling, always had this great personality. He loved what he did, and he loved being around people and music. Just amazing person.
Sybil, go ahead.
I was just wondering about your favorite memory, because you were talking about, meeting him in those moments like in Spain and what have you. But do you have one memory, Jeffrey, that you'll always carry with you with Al?
Oh, man, I guess, on the tour that we did last year, I would always go out and sing a duet with him, My Old Friend, the song My Old Friend.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the first time I walked out on stage, he was sitting there. I walked out from behind him, and I touched him, and he looked up, and he just jumped up and grabbed me. And, I mean, he just laughed and last for 3 or 4 minutes before the song, we even started the song.
That's the kind of spirit he was.
Kind of spirit.
Right,
exactly.
Right. He would
his
do that.
Spirit was, yeah, his spirit was just
He just
amazing.
Grabbed you.
Exactly.
Hey, Mark, I want to ask you real quick, how will y'all honor Al Jarreau? You supposed this weekend at the Howard Theater.
My goodness, it is such a privilege to be able to do some of his material. We're going to try to pull together some of his hits that we have been loving all of our lives.
Will Take Six do Take Five?
Sim.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Sim. Well, take six, do take five.
Well, we want to thank, first
thank
of all, we want to thank Mark Kimmel, Jeffrey Osborne, Claude McKnight. I'm sorry your phone line dropped. We couldn't get you in there to pay tribute to Al Jarreau. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. He certainly was indeed a legend.
All right. Oh, hug you next. 27 past the hour.
One of my conversations with former talk show host Montel Williams. He talks about Donald Trump and politics in America. Next, News One Now, TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
In Los Angeles last week for the NAACP Image Awards, we sat down with a variety of folks, including Montel Williams. We talked about not just, of course, his thoughts about President Donald Trump, Fox News, but also his role in this whole cannabis movement. Here's part one of our conversation where we had a little, had a few things to say about President Trump.
Sure. I follow you on social media, and we are living in just unbelievable, crazy times. Today, to watch a president trash a United States senator, saying he should be questioned about volunteering to go into the military, Senator Richard Blumenthal, when he took five deferments. I mean, it's amazing the level of attacks on members of the military, on veterans, on the intelligence community, and you have not been quiet or shy about what you're seeing.
You know, and I'm trying to assess it in a way that can make enough sense that people can slow down for a minute and just listen. You know, we are at literally the most divisive time I think we've been in our history. As much as we'd like to say that it's only the messenger's fault, let's remember, I can go back to the first interview I did with someone on a different network. You can look at that interview, and I said a year before he put his name in, do not count him out. This is a person who produces television, reality TV. We're living in his production. And now all of a sudden the world's becoming the entire stage. And as much as people complain about the script, they still get the pages and do it every day. Mm-hmm. So we're playing into it. So this is something that we've created. I would love to be able to just blame him and say, oh, it's his fault, he's the devil. What's so sad to me is that what we don't want to talk about, what we refuse to talk about, and those are the things that literally, besides the madness that happens every day, and, you know, I made this comment a couple days ago. I said, you know, it's very funny. Make as much noise as you can and you don't pay attention to what goes on down here. That's that old-fashioned, you know, super plan, right? Mm-hmm. I can scream and it's fire, fire, fire! And I'm reaching in your pocket as you're running out the door. Now, a year before the election, ask anybody who knows me, I said, where are all the billionaires? No money in the game? They're not putting money on either side? Where are they at? Maybe they were waiting on the sidelines for the opportunity to be able to do what they wanted to do, all of them. So it's an odd time. If we don't pay attention, the fleecing of America, remember 20 years ago we used to talk about that when we were talking about hammers and all those things, overpriced tools to the military? They're dismantling everything that controls the ability to stop people from stealing.
I was, when you're talking about, I constantly tweet this, dear white working class voters, hashtag, we tried to tell you. And there's this whole view, oh yeah, but he's a businessman, he can solve these problems. And then when you see the Muslim ban, then you see the attack on federal judges, then you see this constant attack on media, what I keep saying is this is an attempt to silence any potential checks on government.
You put your hand in the air. When you hold any office in this country, you say, I do solemnly swear to form that I will support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. All. and I bear true faith and allegiance to the same. I don't get it, because right now it seems to me that a person who would take his time in the highest office of the land to lambast and criticize a company for making a decision about his daughter's product sales isn't really paying attention to the first couple words, hand in air.
You know? Or paying attention to the really big things that are really happening in this country.
But I did say, you know, there's a lot of noise up here, a lot going on down here. And I'm just afraid that, you know, as much as I wish that I could stop and shake people for a minute and have a hour to sit there and just talk and say, you listen and I'll listen and you listen, America right now isn't in that place. They love this ugly place.
But here's the thing, though. Some of them do. And this is why I don't think we can be silent. Because I've always been of the belief that as each day passes, if there is one person who goes, now I'm listening, then it's not in vain. When I look at the protests, when I look at, when I'm hearing people, like all of a sudden, all these people who have finally stopped being dumb and realized, oh, Obamacare is also the Affordable Care Act. Now all of a sudden, and then they always say, you know, you shouldn't say the American people are dumb. No, that's dumb.
The Affordable Care Act is the reason why my daughter is alive today. My daughter at the age of 26, just turning 26, found out that she had lymphoma. Mm. And then on her own, you know, she had been on my insurance. Good fact, I put her on as soon as I could sign her up.
Right.
Now she goes in, well, guess what? She beat it, and it came back a second time. So when it came back the second time, she had to go through an even more extensive treatment protocol that if she had done so on her own, it would have bankrupted her and me. Maybe at the same time, because I would have been writing checks instead of figuring out how to process her through insurance, because I couldn't have gotten her on. So anybody who doesn't want to realize that this is the direction that we as a nation need to head in, and I don't remember, man. I thought this was about we the people. I thought this was about a people who were compassionate. I thought this was about people who are Christian and God-loving people who believe that they should look out for their fellow man and they believe and trust. Where's all that? Because that's what I put my hand in the air and put a uniform on my back for and put myself out in front of a gun and said, go ahead and do what you want to do. And anybody who says I didn't have a gun, well, it was in a submarine. So submarine, whether the gun's a torpedo tube or not, that's the same type of gun.
Getting blown up is getting blown up.
Blown up.
Whether it's an IED or it being a submarine.
Whatever.
It's very interesting. I watch you being quite vocal when it comes to Fox News. and I've always said that if you think your people are that bad and your people can debate, you should want to invite people who can go toe-to-toe. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, when Bill O'Reilly attacked Black Lives Matter, and he said if anybody in the media defends them, I'll have them on. Raise my hand.
He'd have you on?
And my people call his EPs and said, Bill said this, pick a day. Roland paid for his own way. They won't do it. And that, to me, is weakness. Weakness is when you are afraid to bring on strong people.
If the rest of the network is saying to me that, Montel, we don't want you on our network because you called out a spouse beating, now accused of sexual harassing, and I can't even talk about the fact that he also lied about his military history and his history involved in reporting. You're going to defend that liar and not allow me on? I don't want to come on. I don't. And if you see, I'm not begging them to come on.
Right.
And since then, the second that they have some way that they think that I might come on to disparage a black person, they will then invite me on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Okay. When I put something on the fact that, you know, those kids that did what they did horrifically in Chicago to that differently abled young man, I called them out. Oh, they wanted me on because I was going to say something negative about a black person.
Folks don't want vigorous debate.
No.
They don't want somebody to challenge them because those listening may go, he's making too much sense or she's making too much sense.
Sure. You're right. More voices need to be heard. But I would love to be able to just sit down for one time and have a conversation rather than a battle. Because honestly, every time I sit down with some people who are considered some of the most extreme sides of the coins that I spend time with, personal time with, we always walk away from the table coming up with a consensus or an idea on everything from healthcare to subsidies to you name it.
Tomorrow, part two of my interview with Montel Williams. Trust me, you do not want to miss it. When we come back, we will recap the 48th annual NAACP Image Awards, showing you all the winners and as well as Anthony Anderson having a little fun with that monologue at the expense of many folks. That's next. News 1 Now on TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Saturday, folks, the 48th annual NAACP Image Awards took place in Pasadena, California, airing right here on TV 1. We were there for all of it, including the red carpet, which I participated in. Fantastic weekend of celebration, as well as honoring the achievements of people of color in television, music, literature, and film. Accepting his 20th NAACP Image Award was actor Denzel Washington, who won for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for Fences. He praised the brilliance of playwright August Wilson and delivered an impassioned plea to the new generation of black artists.
I am particularly proud and happy about the young filmmakers, actors, singers, writers, producers that are coming up behind my generation. In particular, Barry Jenkins. Young people understand this young man made 10, 15, 20 short films before he got the opportunity to make Moonlight. So never give up. Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish. It's not easy. If it was easy, there'd be no Kerry Washington. If it was easy, there'd be no Taraji Henson, P. Henson. If it were easy, there'd be no Octavia Spencer. But not only that, if it were easy, there'd be no Viola Davis. If it were easy, there'd be no Michael T. Williamson, no Stephen McKinley Henderson, no Russell Hornsby. If it were easy, there'd be no Denzel Washington. So keep working, keep striving, never give up, fall down 7 times, get up 8. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. So keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.
And here's some of the other highlights of Saturday night's broadcast of the Image Awards.
Outstanding Actress, Comedy Series.
Tracy Ellis Ross, Black-ish.
Tracy Ellis Ross has 15 NAACP Image Award nominations.
Outstanding Actress, Drama Series.
Taraji P. Henson.
Let me just say this. I know I'm up here getting the award, but the women in the category, we need each other. Without you, I'm nothing. You understand that? Like, you inspire me. So let's keep doing this because we're working and it's beautiful to watch.
Outstanding Comedy Series.
Black-ish! These white people never thought they would ever have an NAACP Image Award. Look at this! God is good!
Outstanding Actor, Drama Series.
Sterling K. Brown.
You know, it's been a good year for people of color in front of the camera. You know, and the mainstream has recognized some of our work, but even when the mainstream doesn't, they go back and forth sometimes. It's a little cyclical. Then the NAACP has always recognized our work. So thank you for recognizing excellence.
Outstanding Actor, Comedy Series.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to Anthony Anderson, Black-ish.
Just a kid from Compton with a dream and an imagination and hardworking parents who pushed me to never accept no and to always follow my dreams.
Outstanding Actress, Motion Picture.
Taraji B. Henson for Hidden Figures.
This is Taraji P. Henson's 8th NAACP Image Award winner.
Our nominees for Outstanding Motion Picture: Hidden Figures.
We are so thankful that we get to honor three American heroes. Three African-American women who sent our first American astronauts into space.
And the winner of Toyota's Entertainer of the Year Award is... Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
This award is dedicated to my grandfather and my dad, two proud men of color who, yes, Hi Chief Peter Maivia and the soul man, Rocky Johnson. This one is for you. Thank you for teaching me that everything can be done with two things, faith and my own two hands. Thank you.
Now, on Friday night, the non-televised show took place where actually the bulk of the Image Awards were handed out, including the one that I won for Best Host in a news, talk, reality, or variety show as part of that awards program. Here's some of that.
A brother asked me one day, he said, brother, when are you going to get you a show? I said, well, I'm on TV One every day. He said, no, I mean a real show. He said, I mean a show that's on CNN or MSNBC. And I said, when Lester Holt comes to D.C. to do his show, he sits in the same chair that I sit in because we shoot our show at NBC News Channel. I said, we send this show up the satellite the same way. We use the same cameras. I said, when I sit at the table with the President of the United States, I was there representing TV One. I said, you need to understand that you should never ever think what's black owned is secondary. I had explained to this brother that it was a black network that first paid me to be on television. I spent 6 years at CNN, but it was a black network that gave me a Sunday show. When CNN said no to a Sunday show, they said, fine. It was a black network that gave me a daily show. We cover black news, and we don't apologize for being black on TV One, News One Now, Monday through Friday. No, you can play the music all you want to, because this is critically important. I need every entertainer in this room to hear this. You need to also let your publicist know that when we call, return our phone calls. Because when the other networks won't put you on, we will put you on. And when you want to talk about issues that matter to you and your foundations, we will put you on. And do understand that as long as I am sitting in that chair, we will be real, we will be black, we will be honest, and we will give people the right to speak to their issues. And as my frat brother, my alpha brother, Vertner Woods and Tandy said, I can promise you this, when it comes to either President Trump or Congress or people who oppose black people, we will fight until hell freezes over, and then we will fight on the ice.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll show you some of the red carpet where it was quite colorful. Next, News One Now, TV One.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, of course, red carpet show took place prior to the Image Awards, and our cameras were there as well. Catching up with all kinds of different folks, whether it was Anthony Anderson, Amari Hardwick, you name it. And so here's some of that stuff as well.
We're with Reggie Huttley. He is the executive producer of the Image Awards. So, man, you got a hell of a show this year.
It's a great show. But what makes a great show is great movies, great TV shows, great music, and that's what we got this year. Unlike other big award shows, if you join the NAACP, you can vote in all these categories. You can help decide who the winner is.
You've been kind of quiet in the first three episodes of Scandal. I know the heat is going to have to come soon.
Well, you know what? I think they've changed kind of the structure of the episodes so that they're concentrating on one character at a time. So my turn will come. You'll see.
What else are you working on?
Justice League comes out in November. And then hopefully Turn Me Loose. Turn Me Loose, if we don't make it to Broadway this year, we're definitely going to be in Chicago at the Goodman Theater this summer.
Y'all, we're here with Wild Man Michael Collier. First of all, check out the red shoes.
Oh, these old things.
I mean, check out the red shoes. Now, you see, I had to hit them with the pink.
What?
You know, I had to hit them with the pink, you know.
I started to do something flamboyant on the socks. I didn't know we was going to go that far. Brother, thank you for being here, and thank you for being you. We don't have enough strong black voices like yours to speak up for us and stand up for us. Whenever it goes down, you stand right up, brother. You don't never bite your tongue. And I love you for that. I salute you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. And you do the same thing on the comedy stage.
I'll be trying to do it, man. And now drama, too. You know, I just did my first one-man show. It's called Michael Collier's Mama. If you like your mama, you're going to love this show. We're doing 100 cities. We're going to hit every major city there is. So look for us, man.
Last night, Anthony Anderson could have picked up another Image Award for Best Host. What I won.
Was I nominated last
Yes,
night?
You were. You and Tracy were nominated for Best Host.
I knew this damn show was rigged. And I saw the post your wife made, making room for your third. Making room for your third. That's good.
You know,
congratulations.
Well, I appreciate it, baby.
All right, baby.
Only real, true gentlemen know how to rock an ascot.
Ascot Nation, baby.
I'm just saying.
So
many will be flowing through here tonight with this look.
Somebody got to do it.
It's very nice to be joining you on the beautiful NAACP carpet. This is such an honor.
Mighty colorful here.
Such a colorful. And I must say that I am joining the TV One family. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's got media coming on. What you doing in the movie?
Causing a lot of havoc. Yes, I portray Danielle Jones. And, of course, it is inspired by Miss Kathy Hughes. By no means is it a documentary. What I keep telling people is that if it were a documentary, she would be arrested right now. She would not be walking the carpet. But this has been her passion project for some years now. So to be a part of the amazing cast that helped breathe life into these characters has been such an amazing blessing. And tune in February 25th, 8, 7 Central, only on TV One. And you guys will not be disappointed.
All right, folks, we're here with the man. He has been crazy busy. It is the most busiest museum in D.C., a new Smithsonian Museum, African-American culture. The man who sweated hard to get it open, Lonnie Bunch, and he's been honored, of course, with the Chairman's Award.
I'm so honored. It's so great to be with you. This is really wonderful to have the NAACP recognize the importance of history.
And, of course, NAACP is a huge part of that museum.
Well, you can't tell the history of America without telling the story of the NAACP. So all of the 20th century has been shaped by the NAACP.
And not only that, of course, Denzel Washington, his wife, Paulette, will be here. And they raised a couple dollars for your museum.
Well, they were so kind to host, and the gathering they hosted raised $17 million, just a little bit
That's
of change.
That's it, just $17 million. Omar, finally, there's a movie. As a show, well, I ain't gonna talk about him like a dog, because when he was on Ray Donovan, I was killing Omar.
Every day on Twitter, every day. I was like, I'm glad Roland get to see me playing a regular human being, so he ain't got a dump on me like he like to do.
Well, and the thing about your role on Queen Sugar is, really, your blue-collar brother showing what love is about.
Right, exactly. It's a real man. You know, that's why it's really good that Ava wrote that role. Because she said, I want to reflect what real men look like to me.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
He won last night. He won last night an Image Award for his work in journalism and what he's doing on TV One. I'm so proud of him because he's been my guiding light for a long time.
Well, I appreciate it.
Since 2007. But now we need you again, and we need to, like, figure out what we're going to do. How are we going to stand? Because this is some scary times right now.
We're going to swing every day. Don't even take a weekend off.
Every day. But you got to call me and tell me where I need to be and when.
Okay. I see Justin. We embrace. He said, look at here. I'm going to talk to you afterwards, after I lose this award to Joe Morton. Then all of a sudden, you win.
I know. I'm so excited.
But it was good. This because last year, y'all, we literally are in the middle of an interview. And they're like, Jesse, you won again. And he went, for what?
Yeah, it was for like all the music awards, but this is my first award that I've ever won for acting. So
really?
Yeah, ever. So this is really exciting. This is special.
So last year was a first, this year first. I mean, you just like a first. Any new first next year?
I don't know. We'll see. Image Awards, what y'all got for me next year?
So Amari Hardwick is my...
All right, folks, we're going to have more from the Image Awards all week, including other interviews that we did at the pre-show as well. When we come back, we'll talk a little Grammys. Y'all watched last night?
Yeah?
A little bit.
Yeah, put your sleep. Back on News 1 Now in just a moment.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
59th Annual Grammy Awards held in L.A. last night, folks. Beyonce won Best Urban Contemporary Album for Lemonade, bringing her Grammy count to 22. Her sister Solange won her first Grammy, making them the first sisters in history to both win during the same Grammy Awards. Chance the Rapper won two Grammys, taking home the prize for Best New Artist and Best Rap Album, the first artist to win or nominated for a Grammy with a streaming-only album. Yo, really? Here's some of the acceptance speech.
Glory be to God. I claim this victory in the name of the Lord. I want to thank God for my mother and my father who've supported me since I was young, for Kirsten, for Kinsley,
All right, folks, that's some of that. We couldn't show everything. Also, shout out, my wife turns 52 today is a birthday. So Jackie Hood Martin, happy birthday. I got to go. Holla!
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.